Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Unlimited Realities. I'm your host, Lisa Zimmer, and today we're going to be speaking with 4O Magazine, 3O Magazine insiders and one Oprah Winfrey Network ambassador who shine their lights upon our world doing something from their hearts, their souls, just for the sake of doing some goodness upon our earth and our world. We have some incredible guests today, and we're going to begin the hour with humanitarian and YouTube producer Stephanie Davis. Then we move into our second guest, Allison Crotwell, who will talk to us about her loves and her work in digital media and her love and support in the mental health facility. We're going to move into the third part of our show with Nancy Winningham, who is the one person in the group here who is connected with the Oprah Winfrey Network ambassadorship. So she's going to inspire us with her quotes of praise. And we're going to round up the hour with Grammy winner and songwriter for Mary J. Blige, Usher, Destiny's Child, and much more with Miss Tora Stinson. So let me first bring us back to our first guest, Stephanie Davis, and let me introduce you to Stephanie Davis, who has such an incredible humanitarian heart. In fact, she has a pretty powerful 9-to-5 job, and every time I see a posting online about her, it's always in charity. So this woman works in charitable and humanitarian organizations. It looks like as much as she works 9-to-5. So without further ado, we're going to bring on Stephanie Davis and talk to her and see how all about her social media platform. Welcome, Stephanie Davis. Thank you for being on Unlimited Realities today. How are you?
Good. Thank you, Lisa, for having me.
This is so great. So, I'm going through your I had gone through and taken notes, and I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking, this woman, I had no idea you did as much as you do, because you work humanitarian platforms like a job, man. You are on so much in charitable organizations. It's so impressive and so inspiring, and I applaud you so much. You have a really powerful job as, let me say it correctly so I don't sound really ignorant, marketing information consultant for consumer lending. So, and that's with Bank of America. So, you know,
yes,
that's all left brain stuff. That's usually where I hire the experts to take care of stuff. But you also volunteer for Lead of Women, other nonprofits. And correct me if I say this wrong. It's Alagille Syndrome. It's one of your charities. Is that right?
Yeah. So Alagille Syndrome Alliance. It's a health-based nonprofit. And my affiliation with that is through my daughter, who actually has the rare genetic syndrome. So for me, as a parent, you know, I do a lot of advocacy work and create a lot of awareness around that particular nonprofit, because if I can just share like some perspective around that particular syndrome, she's like, for example, like the one that I know of in the whole entire state of Nevada with that condition. So the rarity of, I'm sorry?
That's amazing. God bless you. You're an incredible mom.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. So, yeah, that's just one of many of the organizations that I'm affiliated with and one that I have a strong passion for.
And let's talk about some of the other things that you get into. You have a very strong passion in social media, and you have a wonderful platform on YouTube. So let's talk a little bit about your channel that you created that kind of boomed without you really even expecting it to. It was like it took off. Like, you have this incredible channel. Let's talk about this. It's called YouTube/My Data Tips.
Yeah, so I created that channel more as kind of a passion project and more as a hobby. I had been introduced kind of to the YouTube space really back in 2008. So I've always dabbled and have created videos and wanted to create kind of a diary of things that I personally enjoy or even moments with my family. And so when I created the My Data Tips channel, it was more of a platform where I wanted it to be a variety channel. So just teaching people certain how-to videos, sharing productivity tips, sharing a little bit about myself and my life and things that I do kind of behind the scenes with the channel, and then also doing fun things with my daughter. I really wanted it to be something kind of family-oriented where, you know, I could do a quick recipe with my daughter. So throughout my videos, you'll see her featured in some of them, or in most of them, to be quite honest. But really, it's just a lighthearted channel, and people always ask me, where does the data come from? And, you know, that really kind of transcends in really my real job and my day job, which is really extensive, like data and analytics. So I would say, it seems like going on 16 plus years of experience in that realm. So my background and in all my studies have been just with analytics, reporting, IT, you know, realm of experience. And so I really wanted to take some of that skill set and knowledge and transcend that into the social media world, which, you know, again, My Data Tips was kind of born from that.
I think that's great. You really balance out the your day. I mean, there's a balance here where 9 to 5, you've got your whole head caught up in specifics and analytics, and then you create this passion that's all creative, all right brain. It's allowing yourself to find that balance, and also to have your daughter and your you know, that aspect in it. That's got to be really fun for the two of you to really, you know, have those moments on YouTube together where she's with you. Now, in regard to your the piece of your social media, when you created this, was this created more like it was it intending, like you said that you just created it as something you wanted to have as, you know, easy access, but did you expect it to take off? Did you create it to take off and develop and explode, or was it just something that you were surprised when it did?
No, you know, well, with my channel, I would say compared to a lot of other YouTube influencers, I mean, I'm certainly on the small scale. What the platform has allowed me to do and where I really benefit from it is just my interactions and my relationships that I have with people that are in the creator and social media space. I've been able to really connect and really build some phenomenal friendships with people that I would not have otherwise have met had it not been for my channel, without my social media. And so I've been able to really be connected with local community influencer groups here, particularly like the Las Vegas Mommy Group community. But in addition to that, I've been able to meet some just really remarkable people from different walks of life. And for me, it's all about just connection, you know, seeing the diversity and the passions that other people have. And so as I continue on this journey with that social media platform, my hope and my goal is, you know, to help others along the way. So I love actually taking my day job skill set and then transcending that into the social media world where I can help people with analytics and build up media kits for people. And so I do that a lot. I do a lot of that behind the scenes that doesn't really get publicly shared through my platforms. But I enjoy one-on-one connections with these different influencers and being able to take my skills to help them, you know, and to promote their brand or to help them create their business.
Wow, that is just incredible, your talents. They go on and on, and it's everything I have no idea about. So it's so impressive. It's like, wow, Stephanie, you can do that. That's amazing. That is just,
I know,
amazing. Honestly.
Well,
so you are, you know, you have this incredible piece here that also comes in. Talk to us how – being an OMAG insider has been this whole year and this journey and this incredible influence and what that's been like for you.
You know, it's been wonderful. You know, I will say when being accepted, I was kind of blown away. I'm like, why me? I'm just this little fish in a large, large pond. And so for me, I was actually kind of shocked by the, you know, the acceptance of being, you know, welcome into the OMAG team or OMAG Insiders team. And so with that, obviously, I'm like questioning myself. I'm doubting myself. And then in some respects, kind of comparing myself. I'm like, gosh, I don't even stack up to some of these women. And, you know, I'm honestly, I still try to figure out where I fit within the entire, you know, realm of the OMAG team. But I've run with it and I've just continued to, you know, make connections with some of the women within the group and have obviously met some of the women in person. And so for me, it's just about supporting, encouraging, you know, and just following the journey and being along the ride with a lot of the women and sharing my story as I can. So for me, it's been an amazing experience because I never thought I could be, you know, in a group of such wonderful and inspiring women. So for me, I'm just grateful and I feel blessed.
It is. It's a great group of ladies. It really, really is a powerful group. And it's really been fun watching because you're in a great location. You're in Vegas. So it's like you've had numerous of them to come flit in and flit out that you've got to meet and see. And it's like, it's like, gosh, nobody's going to be coming over here to Sebastian for me to hook up with. So it's like, you know, I'm watching it, I'm thinking, gosh, you know, Vegas really is the hot spot, man. Everyone is really landing in Vegas. But you've got such an incredible passion, and it really shows online. So your social media platform that really shines through, it really comes through. Your big heart, your humanitarian heart is the part I see in you. So, you know, finding out that you've got this, and, you know, not surprised, but finding out that you have this incredible, you know, 9-to-5 brain part of your day as well, in addition to this big heart, it was very inspiring, Stephanie. It's very inspiring to see how you manage and balance everything that you've got and create your passion as well.
Thank you.
Now, is there anything you would like to direct the audience to, your YouTube channel or anywhere, your blog or anything? Great. Go ahead. You've got the floor.
Yes. So anyone that would like to follow me, I do predominantly, you know, YouTube content, but then have also really picked up more of my work on the Instagram side. But anyone can follow me under My Data Tips, MyDataTips, and that's pretty much my name across all platforms. And I'm on Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, and I'm also on Snapchat. So sometimes I'll do some stuff behind the scenes with my family. So other than that, you know, we'll welcome anybody to come in and visit and say hi.
Thank you. Thank you so much for being on the show today, Stephanie. It was really great talking to you and getting to know you a little bit better. And I hope sometime I'm out in Vegas and I can stop and take you for lunch. So I look forward to that.
Yes, please. Thank you so much. Again, thank you for having me on your show, Lisa. Really appreciate that.
Oh, it was my pleasure, Stephanie. Thank you so much for everything. Have a great day.
All right. You too.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. And next, audience, we're going to be talking to our next guest, who is Allison Crotwell. And Allison is a native of Alabama. She now lives in Birmingham, Alabama, and we're going to talk to somebody else today who was born in Birmingham, Alabama. So there's a lot of Alabama energy today. So without further ado, I want to bring Allison on, have a little chat with her, and introduce you to the audience. Welcome, welcome, Allison. It's wonderful to have you on the show today.
Thank you for having me, Lisa.
It's great having you, and I know you're in between things, and this is not necessarily the best of times for you to speak, but I love that you have such a gentle essence about you. And again, like in knowing you and getting all these informations and bios from everybody, and I'm studying them for the show, I find out these things that I had no idea about you guys. And one of these things is you began your career as a mental health therapist, and you continue to support and advocate for resources and the destigmatization of mental illness, which I also am very, very supportive of. And I find, you know, you have this also this quiet passion of photography and also the digital media arts. And I find the whole balance of your life, like you are such a devoted, dedicated mom. You have your two most adorable sons, William and Griffin, who are little guys. They show up on your social media, and you just have such a great balanced life. And I really applaud you for everything that you've got moving into your days. Now, talk to me about what's your biggest passion.
Sure, and thank you for that kind introduction. I really appreciate it. And as I was listening to you, I kind of thought about how all that does kind of weave into each other. It's really between photography and being a parent and digital and having a passion for behavioral health. It all kind of weaves itself into learning and understanding people and opening thoughts and ideas about the needs of people in this world and what we can do. I don't know, it just kind of made me give me a little perspective. So I really appreciate you kind of
You're welcome. There's always more to us sometimes through someone else's lens. You know, we tend to take ourselves for granted sometimes.
That was very cool. I really appreciate that. That was really cool.
Oh, you're very welcome. Well, you are. I mean, you're a dynamo, and you're balancing it all so beautifully. There's nothing that's coming in that's infringing upon your family life, which is of most importance to you and should be and is and shows up that way. And I applaud you for that, because that's a powerful, powerful family dynamic. And you have a husband of 16 years, and you are raising two, like I said, adorable sons. But you have this, what is it in your photography that calls to you? What kind of pictures draw you in, and why?
I would say that my husband's an architect, so interestingly enough, I do love architectural photography, and then also human photography, so capturing people in a way that is kind of unconventional and can sometimes be uncomfortable. I don't want to use that word, but can make someone think, maybe. I think that can really push someone visually and change the way they think cognitively. So that's one of the reasons that I do photography. And I've had the honor to work with a fantastic photographer here locally in Birmingham, and she's done some amazing work in capturing gorgeous images from populations, mental health patients or homeless population, that really stir you and make you think differently about people who sometimes go unnoticed by the rest of the world.
Oh, that's awesome. That's incredible. And, you know, it takes a deeper awareness to find that. It takes, it takes you out of yourself to look from that perspective.
It does. It does, and I think that's one of the reasons I have the passion for taking away the stigma of mental health, because I think we would be hard-pressed to find anyone in this world who doesn't have someone or isn't touched by behavioral health or someone with mental health issues in their circle.
Right, and it's rampant. And, you know, that really stood out to me, because, you know, it's when we see someone who's an expert in the field of mental health and still can look at it in a way of integrating her support in it. It's in this world to destigmatize mental health is one of the most important pieces for health right now, because especially with the stress we're all going through in the world, and it doesn't seem like it's letting up anytime soon. You know, there's more of a need for people to feel safe in reaching out for support and help. Now, you are a natural storyteller, I hear.
Yes.
And you like to listen and tell stories about history. Is that right?
Yes. And so I mean, that's audio is one of my favorites and why I love being, for many, one of the many reasons, I guess, on your show here. I love audio because, again, with, like, photography or visual, it really challenges you to go beyond what's pushed in front of you. But don't get me wrong, I love to read, and that, you know, certainly challenges you and inspires you in a different way. But the art of listening and capturing someone's voice and telling someone's story, whether it's through an interview, whether it's through, you know, actual storytelling. Actually, I don't know if you've ever heard of StoryCorps, but my husband and I participated in that 10 years ago. It's a fantastic organization. If any of your folks want to check it out, but we told.
What is it?
I interviewed
Talk to
him.
Us about what that is.
Sure. So StoryCorps is an organization that is traveling. It travels throughout the world, really capturing oral stories of people, and they archive them in the Congress of Library of Congress. I'm sorry about that. And so I interviewed him. Maybe 10 years ago, and it was a special interview and a surprise from within, and the topic was very meaningful, and so now that has been archived for as a piece of, you know, American history, and, you know, they focus on different things like African American history and just really capturing different stories of people, and so that's kind of where I guess my passions tie in with telling stories. And like you said, there's always something to people that we don't know, and if we just listen and we look and we tell the story, what, you know, we can learn. I don't know. So, kind of drove you off
topic. History repeats itself too, and if we can learn from our history in stories and experience, I think there'd be less ignorance in repeating bad history. So,
yeah,
you know,
and I love. Hello?
I think I lost you. Did I lose you?
Oh, no. No, I'm here.
Hello?
Sorry.
Oh, great.
No,
okay.
I went.
Sometimes this little, you know, platform goes in and out on me, and I never quite know when, so I try not to get too attached to getting upset over it.
No, gotta go with the flow.
That's it.
One of the things I would say, though, about, like, digital, I think it does have the power to change minds and to connect with people, because you can interact so many different mediums. Like Stephanie was talking about with video, you can tie audio, you can tie word. I mean, abilities are endless, and if we do it and promote it in a kind way and use it as a force for good, I think that there's amazing opportunity for change, and that's one of the things that I love and respect about being an OMAG insider and being connected with someone who really wants you to live your best life, like Oprah, I truly believe, wants all of us to be able to do.
I appreciate that very much, because I agree that, you know, with so much that's out there in media that can be harmful, it's a powerful tool that can be utilized and used in a positive, empowering way. And that if we just switch the dial a little bit, you know, and use it and utilize it for, you know, empowering people, inspiring people, you know, informing people, there's going, you know, that piece is a changing piece. And to have people like you and Stephanie in the realms of digital media and, you know, working that piece, it's great, because you're heart-centered souls. And, you know, there's this piece where I really feel that as we evolve technologically, we have to evolve emotionally and compassionately.
Yes.
And you know, when I see people like you and Stephanie, these big hearts, you know, at the, you know, in this other energy of, you know, thought, it gives me a lot of hope. It gives me a lot of faith because, you know, there's so much that can be utilized. There's so much out there. There's so much that can be done. Now, you mentioned how being an OMAG insider has been such an inspiring force for you. And in this year of adventure that it's been called, have you felt yourself where you may have challenged yourself a little bit more or pushed yourself a little bit more or done some things that were a little bit, you know, hard?
I would say absolutely. Applying to
How's this
to the
year been, Allison?
it's been fascinating. I've learned to be comfortable with being uncomfortable is how I would describe it. This opportunity, honorarium, it came at just an amazing time in my life when I needed it, when, you know, life is at a crossroads and you're trying to figure things out, you're trying to figure life out and yourself out.
Right.
And theme of adventure, I was just like, I mean, I felt like, you know, it had just been brought together. Like, here it is, Allison. Here's your answer. Adventure. Embrace being comfortable with being uncomfortable. Try something different.
Right.
Be open to opportunities. Be open to life in ways that I just had not been before I became an OMAG insider and met so many incredible women, and then also challenged myself to live life more adventurously.
That's awesome. That's awesome. It's kind of like a little permission slip, you know, to
step
outside of the comfort
really
zone
is.
A little bit, you know.
Yes. And
a little nudge
of,
as well, because you know that, you
yes,
know, you have to
nudge.
Take advantage of your adventure, you know. It has to, you have
yes.
to embrace change, you know. You just have to do it. So, now, what do you foresee in going through these holidays? I'm sure you are just thick into the holiday season with those two little guys, aren't you?
Oh, yes. We made cookies last night, and they decorated them in a way that was absolutely not related to Christmas or the holidays. But we had a great time. Cookies and decorating.
Oh, that's a great age. That is a great age.
You know, but I just felt like this is where they are and this is who they are. And, you know, there is no perfect Christmas, and that's fine. We're not making snowflakes or we're not putting snowmen on the cookies, but they're drawing these fun and hilarious things that are where they are as little boys. And that's one of the things that I love to capture, and I use the hashtag a lot, little boys. I mean, just seeing the world through
right.
their eyes and rolling with that, I've had to grow comfortable with. And embracing their adventure and not trying to control it is something that I get emotional if this year has taught me to do.
I understand. Your little guys take me back to when my big guys were little guys. And your little guys are just so adorable. Every picture that you post of them, I mean, it's just, they're one's just cuter than the next. And,
Thank you. You
know, the joy in their faces, you can just see that it's just all about their little world is just really safe and protected and loved, and they're in just really having a joyous time. So give yourself a pat on the back, Mom. You're doing really, really well.
Thank you.
Well,
becoming an OMAG insider has pushed me to enjoy it more and embrace it more and not, again, like I said, not trying to control the adventure, trying to truly live it and be present. That's been my biggest challenge, and that's what this has nudged me to do this past year.
That's awesome because it's, you know, letting go and allowing is sometimes easier said than done. And to just trust in the flow is sometimes, you know, a real godsend to really not have to direct something, you know, to allow life to just show up.
And that was something you said today. So I appreciate meeting people like you and having people like you in my life because, you know, even this morning, you know, calming me down with, we're going to have go the flow and, we'll, you know, everything works itself out. And I need people like you in my life. So I really appreciate you.
Oh, Allison, I that's like the nicest thing. Thank you so much for saying that. And of course I'm here. I mean, it's such a blessing to meet you and these other women in this group because there's definitely a reason. And Joshua Perez, the one male, because there's definitely a resonance and a reason why we all are together. And I feel, you know, a growing love and connection to all of you. But yes, please stay in touch with me and let's evolve our friendship. So I look forward
absolutely.
To that.
Absolutely.
And audience, if you hear my big dog barking in the background, I apologize. He is barking at the UPS man. So please excuse any barking you hear. Allison, it has been a real joy talking to you. You are just a real, real special light. And I'm loving getting to know you, and let's keep in touch. And I look forward to this as we move along through the new year.
Yep, I do too.
Oh, goodness. Thank you so much, Allison. God bless. Have a great, great holiday.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, what a sweet, sweet energy. We are going to talk to our third guest today, who is not an OMAG insider, but I met her on Instagram, and she's an Oprah Winfrey Network ambassador. So she's like, I'm going to sound so ignorant. I'm just going to sound like an idiot here. So bear with me, okay? But I love this woman. This woman has just got my heart. She is such a spice, such an energy. Her name is Nancy Winningham, and we met because she posts inspiring messages on Instagram, and I followed her, and I would get a kick out of her posts. I would be inspired by her posts, and one of her posts just hit me one day, and I looked at her name, and her name is Nancy Winningham, okay, and it just hit me, man, she wakes up every day feeling like a winner. That's just awesome. So I talk to her, I send her a little note, and I say something about Nancy, that's just an awesome name. And I find out that, like, I don't know, several months or a year before, Miss Oprah Winfrey said something very similar to her. So I felt like I was in really good company. I felt like I was in, like, really good company. And I thought, girl, we got to be friends. So we're friends. And here she is. Without further ado, I'm going to bring you Nancy Winningham, who has wrote Quotes of Praise, and she is an Oprah Winfrey Network ambassador. Hello, hello, and welcome, Nancy. Thank you for being on Unlimited Realities.
Thank you, Lisa. Can you hear me pretty well?
I can hear you perfectly. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you very much. Thank you for that wonderful introduction. I appreciate you. I appreciate you. That was good. That was good. You had me laughing. I was pretty much.
I try, Nancy. I try. But, you know, you have some incredible – I'm just going to, like, throw out a quote, and we're going to talk about it, okay?
Okay. Go ahead.
You've got some, like, incredible in-your-face awarenesses, and that's what I love about you, and I love about your quotes, is because some of your quotes are like, wow, I needed that. I mean, it's like a real in-your-face quote. So here's a good one, okay? Don't get stuck on people because you will lose focus on purpose. So let's talk a little bit about how that was inspired. I just thought that was like, that's really quick and good. How did you get inspired on that quote, Nancy?
With that particular quote, thank you so much, Lisa, because that, you know, that's such my prayer as far as my quotes are concerned. When I can have a quote and someone says, oh, my God, I can relate to that. But that particular quote, sometimes I think in life we're so, we get so concerned on what people say, we lose sight on what we're doing sometimes. And I truly believe that, you know, I'm not going to move from that quote, but this particular quote that coincides with this one, the haters and naysayers will make you greater. So we don't worry about those naysayers because we're going to have them. We're going to have them. So we can't lose focus on our purpose from getting so involved in what someone else is saying. But, you know, some of us, we get so upset over the one little thing someone says. I've learned not to. I've learned to, you know, talk about it to the person, with the person, whether they accept it or reject it. I've learned not to allow it to make me lose focus on my purpose and what I am doing. Because if you do that, then that's when you will lose focus on your purpose. You know, it takes a practice within doing that. So it takes life experiences and learning from those life experiences in order to know that you are not to lose focus on your purpose for what others say and do to you.
That is just, and it's you know, easier said than done because we all do it at some point. We get stuck on something somebody says, or it gets in our head, or we start to doubt ourselves, or, you know, maybe we feel like we're just not up to par. And that is just a beautiful, beautiful statement. I love that one.
Thank you. You have
such a strong faith, and that's one of the things that I love about you is the power of your faith. And your faith is one of these pieces that you can feel it through your posts. You can feel the power of through your posts. So let's talk a little bit about your quote that says, "Keeping the faith is a reflection of your future. Faith allows us to recover. Faith allows us to discover. Faith is my tree of life. Faith will never leave me. Others are not right." So let's talk about how faith has kept you on an optimistic path where you really manifested exactly what you believed you were going to manifest.
Oh, that's such a good question, Lisa. You know what questions to ask, don't you? I love it. I always, with that particular quote, always look at every bit of my life as spiritual. And what happens to me is not happening to hurt me, but it's happening to heal me, and it's happening to make me better, pretty much. And I always look at, because I think of, when I think of Hebrew, and I'm going a little biblical here, I think it's in the 11th chapter, first verse, when it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." So I do have a tendency of speaking life into my life. I know what
I love that.
I speak is going to happen. So that's just like if we say to our child, "You're stupid, you're dumb, you're not going to learn anything," then that child is going to start thinking, "This is not what I'm going to do." But if we say, "You're smart, you're the best, you are pretty, you're gorgeous," so you start speaking life into that child, whereas nothing and nobody can stop them. That faith that you have instilled in that baby is going to go on. And the faith that I have had, and I continue to have, Lisa, from opportunities and test the greatness that has came into my life, you know, illnesses, being sick. Yeah, I know that it had to come to me, but how would I react to that particular distraction? How would my faith be so full when those type of instances or test of greatness has come upon me? I've been there.
Right.
I've done that. I've been sick. Okay. We all say, oh, mm-hmm. God, you're such a great healer. Jesus, you're the best healer in the world. Oh, Lord, we thank you. But, you know, a lot of times we won't be able to be, you know, practice or exercise our faith or be faithful if we haven't went through the illness. I'm going to tell you, you know what? I know about healing. I know about the faith that I had when healed. If I didn't go through it, how would I be able to tell you about it? So
right.
I know my faith carries me so far where it's just awesome because I have a quote that says, a trial is not meant to cause pain, but it does serve as an umbrella during the rain. It's a trial. It's a
right.
test of faith.
Right. Oh, that's a good one.
It's a trial. It's a trial. I mean, how many times do we go in the store and get a little trial? And I'm an analogy person. I'm always an analogy.
Right.
I don't even know if analogy is the right word, but I am an analogy person. And go in the store, we get this little trial, size, going Bath and Body Works. We know it's not going to last long, but we know
right.
another trial is going to come again, so we're going to have to fill that little, you know, if you're anything like me, I do put some more inside of my new favorite blossom or whatever our best fragrance is in Bath and Body Works. I do refill that little trial bottle up. So I know that trial and my faith is going to be tested again, but how am I going to deal
right.
with it when it's been tested?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You walk your talk, you know?
Yes.
That's the piece is you walk your talk. You know
mm-hmm.
exactly who you are. You know your
mm-hmm.
strengths. You know your weaknesses. And
yes.
your authenticity is how you show up. So,
yes,
and that's the light. I mean, it comes out in your quotes. It comes out in your experience. It comes out in who you are and just in how you're speaking now. It's your life experience.
Mm-hmm.
So you've
mm-hmm.
been tested and you came out the other side and your faith is even stronger. And that's inspirational. That's extremely inspirational.
Yeah. Thank you.
Now, where would you like to see your life going in the new year? What are your plans? What plans do you have for yourself coming up?
Well, got a couple of things going on. First of all, my main goal and my main goal is just to continue to enlighten, encourage, and inspire. 'Cause with everything that's going on in the world, who does not
mm-hmm.
need to be encouraged, enlightening, and
right.
enlightening, and inspired? I mean, we all need that. I don't care what anyone says. I got someone that sent me, and I love tagging people. I love encouraging, and you see that on social media. But I had someone to send me a message and said, you know, don't tag me in anything. So guess what? You know, we may not feel we need to be inspired today or right at this moment, but we're going to need some inspiring. It may not come from me. It may not come from Miss Oprah Winfrey. She's been inspiring me since I was a little girl living in Chicago and when she was on AM Chicago, and you inspire me, and it's so many others. I take all the inspiration that I can get because it's so much going on.
Right.
But my main goal is to continuously to do that, to help people, to help themselves when needed. And writing a new book. My son and I are going to write a book together. He's 18. He's just turned 18.
Wow,
he's
that's
ill
great.
As well. Yeah. To bring awareness to the illness that he has. So I'm looking forward to that. Just basically looking forward to do more talks and get up and speak to people to give them the encouragement that they need, letting people know you're not by yourself, you're not alone with situations that come upon us because, you know, even though we're going to go through them, but being able to show everyone out there or out in the world, just because you're going through it doesn't mean you won't come out of it. But you got to believe
right.
it. You got to faith and trust whoever we thank
that's,
every single day. I'm real good, big on thankfulness. Lisa, I am big on thankfulness no matter what happens. I have
yeah.
a quote, when you believe in your thank you, you're walking in your gratitude. So if you don't believe that you are thankful, then that's exactly what it's not going to be. I want to tell this one quick story. Can I tell this one quick story? Because some people, when they read my quote, it's just like a real quick something. I remember a few years back I was in a store and I was eating a piece of candy. So this, when you believe in your thank you, your walking, and your gratitude pretty much so relates to this. I saw this little girl and she was looking at me eating some candy. And I asked her, Mama, can she have a piece? And so she says, oh, sure, she can have it. And so the little girl, and, you know, girls can get a little interesting. I'll say it like that. So she started looking at me, rolling her eyes. Wow, what did I do wrong? So as we walked out the door, we pretty much walked out together. And her mother whispered, she says, she don't like that kind of candy. So, but before, in between all of that, her mother said, what are you supposed to say? So she said, thank you. So her thank you wasn't believable at all. Okay, so as parents,
right,
that's what we teach our children, to say thank you, right? Okay,
right.
So I had to come to the conclusion that her mother didn't believe the thank you, she didn't believe the thank you, and neither did I, because her action showed. So even though, I always say this, even though we may not get that favorite piece of candy at that moment.
Right.
But if we keep believing in that thank you, our favorite piece of candy will be on the way. We keep saying thank
Amen.
You. We keep saying thank you. I mean, you may have a Tootsie Roll and your favorite candy is the Jolly Rancher, the red, okay? But however, you keep
That's
on
right.
being thankful for that Tootsie Roll. Believe me,
That's
that Jolly Rancher is coming. So that's
well,
how I
am
I
thankful
felt.
For you. I am very thankful you have come on the show and been my guest, and you have been such a light and such a spice, and God bless you, and I look forward to talking to you again. So thank you so much.
Thank you for inviting me, Lisa. Thank you.
Please. Quotes of Praise by Nancy Winningham. That's her book, Quotes of Praise. You will not regret it. It is a wonderful, inspiring book. Nancy, God bless you. Thank you so much, and thanks for coming
God
on the show.
You too.
And we
You're
could
welcome.
Just talk for hours.
Yes.
So I, without further ado, I'm going to introduce my last guest today, and she is a Grammy winner, born in Birmingham and grew up in Oakland, California. She first started songwriting and penned her first release with the then unknown band Destiny's Child. She's since written for Mary J. Blige, Steven Tyler, Jennifer Hudson, and others, and has a Grammy win. Without further ado, let me introduce Tara Stinson. Tara, thank you so much for coming on Unlimited Realities. Hello.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I absolutely loved your book, and I get to the back of the book, and I find out what a dynamo you are. It's like, what a humble heart. You've got all these, like, accolades, and you've got all these, like, awards and Grammy, and I'm thinking, jeez.
Grammy nomination.
That's the thing to talk about.
Yet. Thank you so much. I have not gotten a Grammy yet. Grammy nom, so fingers crossed for that at
some
point.
Okay, Grammy nomination, but, well, maybe, you know, we need to foresee that Grammy as yours because, you know, there's
From
vertical
your lips
time,
to God's
and I'm
ears.
Already that, you know? There we go. So
yes.
you have written this incredible book, too, and I want to start to talk a little bit about how much you covered in this book. This book is called 100 Things Every Black Girl Should Know, Ages 10 through 100. But honestly, this is a book that every woman should read because it's like it's one of those things that it really is, Tara. It's one of those things that really crosses, you know, all boundaries. And everyone has this piece where they've got questions, you know, and maybe they didn't have answers. Maybe they need support. In the back of the book, you put, like, every known resource to God that you could possibly ever want or need. I mean, it's like it's like a Bible. I mean, truly, this is like a woman's Bible. You need to like have this book. So,
thank you.
So much that I wanted to get into, and I started to take notes, and I started to take like too many notes to cover in 15 minutes. So, one thing I really wanted to impress upon, because we're in a time right now as women that we're finding our voice more, we're standing up for ourselves. We've got the hashtag Me Too. We've got, you know, women are finally at a place where they don't have to cringe about certain aspects of life that may have stunted them. And
hallelujah for that.
Hallelujah. I mean, can you believe we're witnessing this? I mean,
the Time magazine cover.
Yes.
We have far to go, but at least they're taking the steps
in the right direction.
Book,
like, it's like you hit on some powerful stuff here that I want to go into. So you hit. I'm reading your book and I get into the not so private parts part. Okay, and it's really blatant. Really blunt, and it's like knowing your anatomy. Let's talk vagina and vulva, because you are giving power back to the woman in a way that it makes you stand in your power. I mean, when you stand in the power of the vagina, you are standing in your power. And I read that and I thought, hallelujah, Tora, hallelujah.
Yes.
God knows we've been in the penis and balls era for way too long.
Forever.
I mean, those two, you know, that's like water and basketball. I mean, in our verbiage. But to say vagina and vulva, I bet every person is probably covering their ears that's listening to this right now. So it's not
common verbiage,
you know? But yet it should be, because it's part of the anatomy. And what I have found in working with a lot of women, that women sometimes choose words for their anatomy when they have been violated, because somehow it makes it easier for them, you know, to talk about it. And so when they get to a place where they can actually address their sexuality or, you know, their genitalia, their anatomy, it's an empowering piece. And so for you to cut right into it in this book, I mean, hands down, girl, I was so impressed.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I mean, I just feel like I felt like there was so much, you know, growing up. My grandmother literally called it your tuna. You know, like, I'm like, and so for years, she's like, make sure you take care of your tuna that you wash your tuna. I'm like, oh, my God. Like, so for all of those years, I remember going to school and I heard another girl say vagina, and I thought she was the grossest girl in the world. So it just starts at home. And I'm like, okay. You know, so then you get to learn that people always, well, often, you know, a nickname is given just to, because you don't like your first name, or you don't want to bring attention to a certain thing. And so we give it nicknames, or we want to shorten it or minimize it. And this is where life comes from. You know, this is the canal in which life literally comes from. And so it's where it starts. And so I think that we should just respect it a lot more.
Yes.
And take care of it. Take care of it a lot.
Yes.
You know, that's very important, because that was you know, something that I didn't, you know, you don't really know. You hear, you go to see your gynecologist once a year, and in some cases twice a year. You know, just growing up, and especially in urban areas where health insurance before Obama was a really, really, you know, it was a scarce commodity, so to speak, because it is, you know, unfortunately a commodity. But it was scarce, and a lot of us didn't have it. So, you know, we suffered because of it. And so I just, in writing my first book, I just wanted to make sure, especially that since my audience is women, are women and girls, I wanted to make sure that I just, you know, speak to something that we all have in common, regardless of our race, regardless of our sexual preferences. If you're a woman, you have a vagina. and you can take care of it, you know, and respect.
That's right,
and respect,
you know, and you
and
have, you know, have eyeballs, and you have a nose, and you have toes, you know? It's like, you know, I mean, it's like, let's take the sexuality aspect out of it and call it what it is. So, you know, that piece was hugely empowering as I was reading that. And then I moved into, and all of it, I mean, honestly, I loved your book. But the next part that really got me, too, was how you addressed mental illness, because that's another powerful piece that we're dealing with right now. You know, one in four adults are suffering, at least, with mental illness or some form of it. And the one thing that I found fascinating is that you mentioned and you brought up, and this has been a topic that I have brought up with my own family, is that I find my own black friends choose God and power of prayer when they're stressed. And much more than, you know, say, you know, the average white person goes and takes a pill. So, you know, it's a very different dynamic in regard to how it's dealt with. And so I want to talk a little bit about that because I find it fascinating. I think that is just, and I always am inspired by that. I'm just so inspired by people who are struggling and are able to say, you know, get up and say, well, you know, God's with me, and I'm, you know, I'm going to get through this, and it's going to get better one day, and it's not always going to stink, and, you know, that's empowering to me. So let's talk a little bit about the black community and how they do utilize the power of prayer and God to move through stuff.
Well, speaking to, like, my, I have family who are practical Christians, and then family that are, and I'm going to just put this on my family so that I don't generalize the public. And then I have family that are holy rollers, and that's and both are okay. But just to speak to both of my family members, both sides of the coin, James 2:14-26, somewhere in there. Faith without works is dead. And so if you don't, you can have all the faith. You can have that of a mustard seed, that of a watermelon. If you're not doing anything with it, if you're not being proactive, if you're not taking action, if you're not doing anything to move toward your goal, if you're not doing anything to help your mental state, if you're not doing anything to whatever it is that the disparity against you, if you're not doing anything to get out of it, you're likely going to stay there. I believe that God gave us, he gave us free will. He gave us so many different things, all the tools that we need, but he can't do it for us. We're here on this earth. Right. It's just us. You know, when we come to this world by ourselves. And so oftentimes, like, we feel like as, I'll just say, as black people, it's when I was growing up, it was like, oh, my God, oh yeah, that's my brother. He's special. You know, it wasn't – no one really addressed the serious issue of mental illness. And what I would – in retrospect, it's like, oh, maybe he was in the spectrum. You know, maybe my cousin – you know, I'm sure he was, you know. But it was kind of like, oh – don't talk to him. He's special. And it all goes back to the health insurance issue and just not having that's one of the many reasons. But that's one of the main issues is that, you know, we were just, you know, a lot of people didn't have health insurance. And then when you do get health insurance, you have the basic care. You don't have the extensive insurance that extends itself to, that would cover mental and addictive, you know, addictions and things like that.
The problems of society,
policy.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
The things that actually could really create, you know.
Right. Exactly. And so then we decide, okay, we're just going to take it to God and pray. But then we have to remember that even the word says that faith without works is dead. And so you have to work toward it. And what I've found is just being able to, you have to be very careful about who you allow into your space, because it's those people that fuel whatever it is, you know, that you're going through. They could either be very helpful or a huge hindrance.
Right.
And so, just in our community, it's actually so many, I would say we've made some big strides in the last couple of years. There's been so many different community organizations that have brought this out into the forefront, dragged it out into the forefront. And I'm so happy to
I am.
Aren't you? Like, it's just like men talking about their issues and being molested, and imagine the freedom that they feel from not holding that anymore, you know?
That's right. And it empowers the whole across the line, you know? It empowers everybody because, you know, we're all one. We're all connected. And, you know, my brother's pain's my pain, you know?
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
You know, this has been, we could talk forever. Unfortunately, our time is up. And I wanted to thank you so much for being on the show, Tora. You are just an inspiration.
Thank
You've got
you.
So much going on. And audience, please focus on looking at her book here, please. It's 100 Things Every Black Girl Should Know. But ladies, I'm telling you, every woman needs this book. You need it for your daughters or your grandchildren. It's an incredible book. So, Tora, God bless
you.
Thank you,
Lisa.
My pleasure. It was great getting to connect with you, and have a very Merry Christmas.
Likewise. Same to you. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.